Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Meg. Can you take me through your latest investigation and what you've found? And you have the documents you've searched through. Can you just bring us the latest, Meg?
Yeah, this was an investigation into how the local Planned Parenthood has been influencing public education, particularly in providing comprehensive sex education to students. In this piece, I found documents in the Reading School District showing how they were partnering with Planned Parenthood Keystone to provide not only this comprehensive sex education, which actually teaches sex ed to children as young as kindergarten. It's all infused with gender ideology. And they were putting that in the school, and they were also helping to run an after-school LGBTQ plus kind of like sex ed club for students and young adults up to age 21.
And so with this, how is this funded? I mean, we keep hearing with these, non-government groups, the NGOs, we keep hearing about all of this DOGE, but do you have, how this works? And I often call Planned Parenthood a money laundering operation. A lot of these are, because with Planned Parenthood, look at how they donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to local elections, all Democrats. And I've often called it a money laundering operation. But how does the funding happen here, that this even, and the decision-making process, how does this happen?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that listeners probably need to go home and Google is comprehensive sex education. And this is an idea that was pushed really by Barack Obama and his presidency. And it's really quite something. If you start looking into just generally what comprehensive sex education is, it's very radical sex ed. It's, like I said, mentioned, it's for kids as young as five. It's all about shaping and changing their norms. So a lot of the lessons will absolutely feature transgender ideology and things that really kids, especially elementary kids, shouldn't be thinking about. We don't need to be introducing these ideas to children. We need to let them be children. And so a lot of that funding to develop these programs, and specifically, and I could talk about this in the piece, that different regional Planned Parenthood offices have gotten, millions of federal dollars to develop these sex ed programs under a program called the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. That was, again, something that was pushed by Obama during the Obama presidency. So there's just all kinds of different grants that can be used for all different things. But there's definitely been a lot of money thrown at this comprehensive sex education.
And so with that, and, that's what's always, I think, shocking to parents, because they just, maybe they've just trusted their local school, private and public, by the way. But in this case, young kids as young as five, and Meg, even the suggestion to say to a five-year-old kid, well, what's your gender? There are so many genders. Mm-hmm. And a little kid is like, what? What does that mean? And so, for parents who think, oh, this stuff, that's like crazy stuff that's happening out in California, what you're here to tell them is this is happening everywhere, right?
Yeah, and I think that it's definitely happening in Pennsylvania. I mean, I'm still continuing to research further into this to see what other schools might be offering these programs. But, I mean, Planned Parenthood has an entire you know, range of sex ed curriculum that schools can then adopt. And so I think, you know, one of the, what kind of got me thinking about this was the reporting from the local reporting from the Delaware Valley Journal talking about how Planned Parenthood was in Pennsylvania is planning on getting more involved in school board elections. And so in this Reading school district, I found that one of the school board members had actually been endorsed by Planned Parenthood. So there's kind of this potential for this loop of if you're endorsing candidates, perhaps they'd be more likely to adopt some of these measures. And I think that exactly what you said, I mean, this is really confusing to kids. I mean, asking kids if they're a girl or a boy, I mean, it's just so confusing. I think that confusion is intentional because it kind of then sets them up to ask more questions and maybe kind of get sucked into some of this gender ideology.
And so for this, I mean, what's your advice as a parent? And by the way, I mean, are you still being sued by Bucks County? Is all that finally resolved? I ask you every time you come on.
I haven't gotten any updates, so I assume it's still just waiting in the courts. In the courts, and I don't know. I don't know if it's ever gonna. I don't know what's ever going to be fully. Yeah, but I mean, I think parents need to be extremely vigilant. They need to be educated. They need to understand. I mean, like for example, the school district did have an opt-out form. So if your child was going to be involved in this curriculum, there was a potential to opt out. But a lot of times, parents don't even know that things are happening, let alone that they have the ability to opt out. So I would just tell parents they should be absolutely paying attention. They should be reading all the agenda items for their school, their whatever district they're in, reading those agenda items, understanding what's going on, because a lot of this stuff is happening in schools, and really there is a target on vulnerable kids. I mean, I've been studying gender ideology almost exclusively for about 3 years now, and it just breaks my heart when you hear these stories of how these seeds that can be planted in young kids come to fruition, and you have these young women now who are left without their breasts, and they don't know if they're going to be able to have children, and that should not be happening. It should not be happening.
It's so true. You know, one day I was, you know, talking to my teenage sons about this. It was like a year ago. My youngest son, you know, David, he says, well, Mom, of course, because when you think of your first image as a kid, they want to go for where kids are young, because that first mm-hmm. image never leaves you. You never forget when usually you're like, you know, maybe 16, 17, whatever that is. But let's say they plant a sexual image when you're whatever, 5, 6, 7, mm-hmm. then they've got you, because now that's the image in your brain. And so mm-hmm. it does. No matter where somebody stands, it's not about politics, right? This is about thinking about just robbing a child, a young kid, of their innocence. Mm-hmm. Isn't that really just protecting our kids' innocence for as long as possible?
Absolutely. And that is part of, I mean, I don't know if you've read up on what queer theory is, but that's really the basis of queer theory, is that you rob children of their innocence. And that really sets the stage, or kind of sets the groundwork for them to adopt these very radical ideas as they grow older. And so, absolutely, I mean, our kids deserve to have a childhood. They deserve to have the freedom of childhood innocence, and the idea that we're going to disrupt that, it's going to have consequences. I mean, I think that's part of what doesn't really get discussed. These kind of ideas get discussed as if they're inconsequential, but they're extremely consequential. And right now, I mean, we're seeing the consequences and seeing this wave of these detransitioners who have been just left with these broken bodies at the hands of adults. And it's just heartbreaking. And, you know, these kids deserve to be protected and nurtured and cared for.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah, so do we.
Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget.
Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And so what is your take on, as far as our suburban schools in this area and across the country too? But I know in, especially in Montgomery County, they've doubled down. They've doubled down in different school districts. In Bucks County, we've heard about this. So on the national level, right, we have Trump now saying, no, we really want to take away the federal situation, return more localized education and just put the federal funds so the states can decide. But as well, trying to clean out this DEI, this indoctrination. But we have local schools, as you well know, Meg, in Bucks mm-hmm. County, Montgomery County, and Chester County, who are pushing back and doubling down and saying, no, we're still going to teach this gender identity and diversity, and it's part of our curriculum, and it's here to stay. What do you say about mm-hmm. that?
I mean, I think that anyone who thinks all of this is going to end with the swipe of a pen is extremely naive. And I appreciate it. I mean, I was thrilled to watch President Trump sign the executive order banning men from girls' sports. I mean, I think all of these things are important first steps. They're important to get this information and get these topics out out for discussion. But the battle is absolutely going to be state by state, county by county, school district by school district. I mean, Colorado, I think it was this week, is like trying to pass a bill where it would penalize doctors who refuse to use someone's fake sex. So I think that you're absolutely right that it's really going to be, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of districts doubling down. There's going to be a lot of battles in court, and that really it comes down to local engagement, and that people need to get involved in their school boards and their counties and all of that stuff, because that's where the battle really, really lies.
Yeah, and we have other municipal elections coming up, Meg. Real quick, I had seen that you put out a post, and this is so important, where, a couple of years ago when your child, your daughter, your little girl was, 7 years old at the time, and you relay a story that the doctor at this point expects that you as a mom are going to leave your child there with a doctor alone, which I actually thought that was against state law. I guess I was unaware. I thought you were supposed to be in there, but it just shows you on every level, even at the doctor's appointments, education, wherever that is. That was really emblematic to me, Meg, your personal story of that, of just mm-hmm. saying we always have to be vigilant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you have to be vigilant in everything that you do, especially when we see really like all of the educational and medical institutions have adopted these gender ideology policies, which really do, in my opinion, undermine parental rights. I mean, everyone's heard at this point this idea that, like, you know, kids have to have this confidential if they quote unquote come out or think that they're a different sex, have to have a confidential relationship with people who aren't their parents. And that doesn't just stop there. I mean, that personal story, I'll never forget how I felt. Some more context is that my daughter was having stomach pain. We'd actually gone to an urgent care where they did blood work that confirmed she had some sort of an infection. And they said, let's just go. You should probably go to an ER and make sure she doesn't have appendicitis. So, you know, it was just that's what we were doing, rolling out appendicitis. So there was all this there was already tests done showing she had an active infection that was causing her belly pain. And yet still, the doctor asked her if she needed me to step out of the room. And I'll never forget how that made me feel as a parent, because you're immediately kind of almost like put on notice that you're seen as the problem, even though there's nothing to even suggest that's the case. So parents definitely have to be vigilant.
Yeah. And I believe the law, I think it's age 14, under 14, it's parental consent. So I don't know if they were going to, I don't even know what the doctor was after. It was just
Fortunately, it didn't escalate any further. But I was definitely in my head just standing there like, oh my goodness, I don't want this. I just want to make sure she doesn't have appendicitis and go home, which I think is probably how most normal parents are, you know.
You know, in Bucks County, especially where you are, Meg, I know, and my husband and I were in the Chestnut Hill section of Philadelphia, and I think I told you the story. We had looked at homes in Bucks around some of the great public schools because we've been paying for private. I always say I'll be like working till I'm 93. I'll be your waitress, you know, with the private schools. But, you know, part of it is parents who move, you generally speaking, who are in Bucks County and a lot of our suburbs actually will school shop and then look for a house for sale around that. And that's really the central piece of this. So how do you, looking back now, what you learned through the pandemic, and then as well looking forward to think about school vouchers and what the Trump administration wants to do with really revitalizing and reimagining how schools and education are funded, where does that take you? And how, I just would love to hear your take on, as you look at all of that and how it might, you know, impact you, your family, your children.
I mean, I think that there's a lot of issues within public education that need to be fixed. I mean, that being said, I think that there is a lot of recourse for parents, right? You can go to a school board meeting. You can do a FOIA request. You can elect a different school board. I mean, in terms of like school choice, I mean, I think the whole educational pipeline is very captured by a very radical ideology. So, I mean, my question is, well, who funds those schools? Who's going to, you know, how do you make sure that, like, I mean, I don't know. It's all probably above my pay grade, to be honest. I can find the things people be concerned about. I mean, there's a lot of differing opinions, but I think that at the bottom line for parents is that none of this is an easy fix, right? There's no magic bullet for how do you fix the problems within education. And I think that the real answer is just people, normal parents working in their communities to make things better, not just for their kids, but for other kids as well. I think that the battle is going to go, regardless of what happens federally, it's going to be state by state, county by county, district by district. And so the good news is that everyone, while all of us as individuals, I mean, we have the power of our vote, but we're not necessarily going to be creating any policy at the federal level, but everyone does have a voice and everyone has an opportunity to be someone who helps kids in their own community, whether that's through being a coach, whether that's through, you know, serving lunch at a school, or maybe it's, you know, going to school board meetings, whatever it is. I think if we can really all regain that sense of personal responsibility to be good citizens, I think that's what really will make America great.
Amen. So is there anything you want to promote? I always want to give you an opportunity, your next piece or your next steps, what you're doing locally, anything you want to promote?
I think I'm just doing lots of more investigations coming out on gender ideology at the Daily Caller. I always share my articles on my Twitter, Maggie Brock, is my Twitter handle, and then also at thedailycaller.com. You can see all the investigations, and we're always putting out new information about gender ideology, and I'm working on a follow-up story for the story I wrote about Planned Parenthood and their sex ed in Pennsylvania schools. So I'll definitely let you know, what happens with that.
Perfect. Meg Brock, thank you so much, Meg.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.